Okay, so I was talking with Preacher Timothy, and seems like he's donated a class to me. So we will have three more classes on the Holy Spirit. Okay, yeah. We'll have three more classes on the Holy Spirit, okay, the next 3 days. The first day, which was 2 days ago, we were talking about just the history of how the Spirit of God has interacted with humankind, from the looking in the Old Testament, from creation all the way to New Testament time, and then also to us today in the True Jesus Church. Okay, and I was showing, I think we left off showing this chart concerning these two eras, right? There was a period of time when Jesus was not yet glorified, and yes, God's Spirit still interacted with mankind, but it was more of in a temporary manner. It was also intended just to accomplish tasks, and then also just for a chosen few, right? And then after Jesus was glorified, then, as was promised, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, God poured out His Spirit upon His believers, okay? And this was meant to be a permanent indwelling. And one of many functions is that this Holy Spirit is to sanctify us as His believers into perfection. And it's not just for a select few, but for everyone who believes in Jesus and asks Him, right, for the Holy Spirit. Okay? Yeah. Now, one thing I want to also make clear is kind of this concept of what we usually give the term working spirit, okay? You don't see this term in the Bible, but I think in our church, at least when I was younger, I often heard preachers talking about, like, the Old Testament interaction of God's Spirit with mankind. You can kind of call that like a working spirit, right? It's to do God's work only, to do, like, specific tasks and fulfill His will, right? But this same kind of style of interaction with mankind is still also present after Jesus is glorified too. Okay, so I received a question the other day, and the question was like, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament usually fills the person with supernatural and prophetic abilities to accomplish a task and fulfill God's will. Can our promised indwelling Holy Spirit provide us with supernatural and prophetic abilities, or is our Holy Spirit strictly for a guarantee of eternal life, right? Have you heard of any testimonies where the promised Holy Spirit gave the person supernatural and prophetic abilities, right? This is what we're talking about here, okay? Yes, today in the church, in the New Testament time, you can see those who have the indwelling promised Holy Spirit, sometimes they're also given certain gifts, right? Specific to them to do something to edify the church. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's first read verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 3. Let's take turn reading again. Let's go to Carol. Is that Carol back there? Yeah. Oh, no, that's Janice. Yeah, Janice, please read. Okay. Right? One activity of the Holy Spirit is that He leads people, right, to believe in Jesus. This is kind of like a work of the Holy Spirit, but that person may not have necessarily received the Holy Spirit yet. Right? You understand? The Holy Spirit is still working, right? And obviously has moved this person to call Jesus the Lord, but that may not necessarily mean they have the Holy Spirit yet. And then if we keep reading, there are other gifts of this Holy Spirit and how he works and edifies the body of Christ. Let's go to Ari, verses 7 through 11. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Okay, so this is the same Spirit of God at work, right? But apart from the receiving of the Holy Spirit that everyone who believes in him will receive, there's now special, right, like special gifts he's giving to individuals. It's a lot like in the Old Testament now, right, where it's only a select people, right, to accomplish a particular task or God's will. So here it lists 9 of these special gifts. All of them are for the purpose of profiting everyone, right? It's for the profit of all. It's to edify everyone, okay? So the first one is the word of wisdom, right? You may not think like this is really supernatural, but really, sometimes when people preach, it's that wisdom is, yeah, it's not from themselves, it's just straight from God, okay? And it can really build up the church, right? But if, as you keep reading, maybe there's some things that seem more supernatural, right? Like faith by the same Spirit, right? This is like more of a supernatural faith, like a strong, like a special type of faith, right? Okay, and then gifts of healings, right? I remember hearing a testimony. He's an elder in the church now, but before he was a full-time minister, one time his wife was sick, and then God moved him in his prayer in the Holy Spirit. God moved him to get up and lay hands on his wife. Right? This is before he was a minister. And then after laying hands and after that prayer, she was healed of that, like fever or something, right? Okay. Some ministers, right, when they have been preaching or they go on missionary trips or in the church even, God works through them to somehow heal people too, right? I remember hearing a case where a believer, he was having some kind of like headaches or something. And then he called up a minister, a full-time minister on the phone, right? And when he was talking to this minister on the phone, he realized that when he put the phone like on this side, like that side of his head felt better. Then he put it on the other side and the whole head felt better. And then he was fine, right? Something like that. I forgot the details. I heard it firsthand, but I forgot the details. Yeah. Right. So this minister didn't even know this was going on, I don't think, right? While he was talking to them on the phone. But then he was healed, right? So God, through his Spirit, can work through us to do these, you know, these things, and it's for the benefit of the church. We'll probably go back to this tomorrow, too, this passage, because it also is talking about tongues here, right? In verse 10, different kinds of tongues, right? And then, when you go to the end of this chapter, Paul also is saying, verse 30, right? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Right, and These rhetorical questions are implying no, right? And so often people may get confused thinking that, oh, not everyone has to speak in tongues then, right? But we have to keep in mind this whole context is talking about certain gifts that is for the purpose of edifying the church, right? So we'll talk about this when we talk about some misconceptions, okay? Yeah, but to answer this question, right? Yes, today in the church, right? People who have received the Holy Spirit also may have these certain gifts, okay, to help and accomplish God's will. Okay, now let's talk about the evidence of receiving the indwelling Holy Spirit. Right? What does the Bible say regarding when someone has received the Holy Spirit? Right. First thing we want to bring up is that when someone receives the Holy Spirit, it's something that you can see and hear. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 33. Acts 2:33, Jocelyn. All right. This is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost, shortly after he and 119 of them, 120 total, received the Holy Spirit, the promised outpouring of the Spirit. And then he was preaching, and then what he was trying to eventually prove is that this Holy Spirit is coming from Jesus Christ, the one that they crucified. Okay, and this same Jesus Christ that they crucified now is resurrected, and he's at the right hand of God, right? And then he's pouring out what you now see and hear, okay? So his main point, of course, is talking about how this Holy Spirit is coming from Jesus Christ. But along the way, he mentions to us that the Holy Spirit is something that you can see and is something that you can hear. And clearly, the crowd gathered because they heard something, right? And maybe they also saw something too, okay? So Holy Spirit, when someone receives the Holy Spirit, it can be seen and heard by a third party, okay? We can also turn to Acts chapter 8. Wen Yang. Yeah, please read. Okay, right. So here, Peter and John went to Samaria, where there was already a church. Okay, Philip had been working there very diligently. He was able to convert some people, and they got baptized too, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet, right? And one of the new converts was a man named Simon, who was a sorcerer beforehand. And he was very used to, like, wowing people with signs and, like, wonders like this before, too. Okay? So you can see when Peter and John were laying hands on people, people received the Holy Spirit. And verse 18 says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, then he started to offer them money. The Bible in this particular passage doesn't say exactly what he saw, but when you read it, you can tell it must have been something clear, right? And it must have been something powerful, right? That's why he wanted to buy it. It kind of goes back to his background of how he was a sorcerer and liked to wow people with these signs, right? So even though the Bible doesn't say like anything regarding speaking in tongues yet over here, okay? But we can just conclude here that he saw something powerful, okay? And that's why he wanted to buy this power too, okay? So today, if someone receives the Holy Spirit, you can also see it. There's a change that happens. You can also hear it. There's a change that happens. There's a difference before receiving the Holy Spirit and after receiving the Holy Spirit, just physically speaking, right? There's a physical phenomenon attached with receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what is this physical manifestation? The main criteria is speaking in tongues. Okay, speaking in tongues. So yes, Acts 8 does not say that they were speaking in tongues, but the thing is, when you compare to all the other times people received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they were speaking in tongues. Okay, so we can also safely conclude that's what Simon saw too, right, in Samaria. Okay, so let's look at one such occasion where people received the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10 again. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 and 45. 44 and 45. Vivian. Okay, right. So the second half of verse 45 says, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, right? These are the Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile, a non-Jew, right? While they were listening to the sermon, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And then how come Peter concluded this? How did Peter come to this conclusion? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, right? So you can see Peter, he would often reference his own experience of receiving the Holy Spirit Peter often would reference his own experience to make a conclusion. That's what I meant, right? To make a conclusion. All right, so like in verse 47, Vivian, can you read 47? Right? They who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Right? So he was thinking back to his experience on the day of Pentecost, and then he saw that they were doing the same thing, speaking in tongues, so therefore they have the Holy Spirit, right? He concluded they have the Holy Spirit, right? So you can say like it's a little bit subjective, but yeah, that's how Peter was making that conclusion though, right? And he kept on repeating this, right? Like that their experience was the same as his experience. Let's turn to chapter 11, verse 17. Acts 11, verse 17. Wiki. Yeah. 刚才是念中文吗? Oh, okay. Now let's ask Matthew. Can you read it in English? Yeah. It's no problem. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. All right, okay, right? So here, Peter went back to Jerusalem and was giving a report of what happened with Cornelius' family. Okay. And then he said, like, well, yeah, we wound up baptizing them. Okay, because this was a big shock to them. Like, right? How can Gentiles also become, part of the church or be saved? So he was just trying to report exactly what happened. And he said, well, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, right, who was I that I could withstand God? Right? So again, he was just showing that it was the exact same thing. Right? Not long after, in Acts 15, verse 8, this is during the Jerusalem Council, he was also repeating a similar statement. Right? Acts 15, verse 8. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Acts 15, 7 and 8. Joyce. Okay, right? Again, just as he did to us, right? Verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Okay? So Peter knew exactly what it was like to receive the Holy Spirit, so he could also rightly make a conclusion when somebody receives the Holy Spirit. Okay? So clearly in the book of Acts, whether it's Acts chapter 2, whether it's Acts chapter 10, or even maybe now we can go to Acts 19. Right? When people receive the Holy Spirit, it is something that people can see and hear, and they are hearing and seeing the speaking in tongues. Right? We can go to Acts 19. Verse 6. Let's go to Rachel. Okay, amen, right? Paul laid hands, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Okay, so very clear in Acts, whenever people receive the Holy Spirit, there's a physical manifestation that people can see, right? I was sharing in pastor's time last week, one event that really just kind of stays in my mind, right? Almost 2 years ago, I was in Kenya, and that day we had been going to many different members' houses to do visitation, and we went to one sister's house whose mother-in-law, had been visiting our True Jesus Church for about 6 months. She was part of the Anglican Church at the time, right? And we started to chat for about 10, 15 minutes. But while we were chatting, it started to rain. And because their houses in the countryside in Kenya, their roofs are made out of tin sheets or iron sheets, whenever it rains, then basically that becomes like a drum, right? So every single drop is amplified, and then it just gets really loud to the point where I was shouting at the top of my lungs, and she was only like 6 feet away, and we were barely communicating, right? And because of the rain, I thought, okay, it's hard to talk. I was just like, let's pray. Let's just pray. So we knelt down and prayed. And during the prayer, I got up to lay hands on her, on this mother-in-law. And nothing happened. So I went back and kind of pray. A second time, I got back up and then laid hands on her. And then nothing happened, so I went back and continued to pray. And by this point in time, about 15 minutes had passed in the prayer. Okay? And usually when you go to visit people's homes, unless it's a special occasion, you don't pray that long, right? You don't pray, it's not a prayer session or anything, right? So you just kind of pray and kind of conclude and go home, right? But after 15 minutes of prayer, it was still raining so so hard and so loudly. So I was thinking, like, even if we stop, number one, like, we can't continue to talk. Number two, we can't go to another house because it's just way too wet outside, right? So I thought, okay, let's just keep on praying. And it was at this moment in my own prayer, I had this thought, because only 2 weeks earlier, when I was still in the U.S., I was preaching about Elijah praying for rain, right? And how he sent his servant 7 times to go check for rain. And I think maybe that was still floating around in my head, and then the rain was coming down too. So I was thinking about that story, and then I was thinking, okay, God, I'm willing to get up and lay hands on her and pray for her and check if your spiritual rain has come upon her 7 times if necessary, because it's still raining, right? So I had this particular thought, and I got up from prayer. So third time, I went over and laid my hands on her. And then it was in this third time that just so powerfully the Holy Spirit came upon her, right? You could tell, like, suddenly started speaking in tongues very loudly. Her body was shaking so clearly and, so forcefully. And I was just so astonished and also humbled, too, because God heard her prayer. God heard her prayer. God also heard my prayer. And then also God, saved me from getting up 4 more times, right, to check, too. Yeah, right. So that particular incident really stays with me. And truly, like, you can see it when somebody receives the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a physical phenomena that that comes with the coming of the Holy Spirit, just like the Bible says. Okay? Okay. Now, when someone receives the Holy Spirit, we've been saying the main evidence is speaking in tongues. What is this tongue? Right? We're going to talk a little bit more about this, right? What is this tongue? Why is it, why do we speak in these tongues, right? And what is this all about, right? First of all, we want to emphasize this speaking in tongues is only through the utterance of the Holy Spirit, okay? Meaning that it's not something you teach others to mimic, right? It's not something you learn from someone. But just like Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, this utterance is only given through the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 4. Acts 2, 4. Caroline. Okay, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, I also received a question about, it's kind of related, right? Is it possible for someone to pretend to have received the Holy Spirit, right? Or is it possible for someone to just pretend to speak in tongues, right? Or how can pastors tell if a person is faking the Holy Spirit or actually has the Holy Spirit? Yeah, as a pastor, the only way we can tell is through the tongue speaking, right? Just the same criteria as the Bible tells us. What I've heard is that people, yes, you can fake it. Okay? I've heard of a testimony where a sister was faking for many years, actually, because I think she was embarrassed or she didn't, she didn't feel... she felt embarrassed that she didn't receive the Holy Spirit yet. And then I think finally after a few years, she repented about that and then truly then received the Holy Spirit, okay? So yes, I think it's possible for people, if you really try hard, you can mimic the sound, right? You can mimic the sound. And can the pastor tell if you're faking or if it's genuine? If it's really good, we can't tell. We can't tell the difference, Okay? Yeah. So, but the thing is, why would you do that, right? If you know that you yourself are doing that, you're just lying to yourself. You're just deceiving yourself, right? You know in your heart that you're the one who's doing that, right? So, some people maybe even say like the sound that we produce when we are speaking in tongues is very similar to the Spanish R, rolling R. Yeah, and I speak a little bit of Spanish. I also, you know, you could also talk to Brother Francisco, who's a native Spanish speaker. The sound is different, though. Okay, the sound is still different. For me, my personal observation is when I speak in tongues in the Holy Spirit, the rolling of the tongue is more forward in my mouth, okay? And then if I'm speaking Spanish, the rolling R is a little bit more behind. Toward the tongue is touching my palate, right? It's a little bit more behind, okay? And if you really want to make that sound, you can, but you'll be very tired, right? To do that, if you want to do that sound by yourself for a long period of time, you'd be very tired. But when you pray and the Holy Spirit is giving you this utterance, it's nearly effortless, right? It's nearly effortless. You don't feel tired, okay? So this tongue speaking is only through the utterance of the Holy Spirit. When I see little kids, if they're trying to copy, I can tell, right, when they're, yeah. I can tell. I tell them not to copy, okay? Just pray, say hallelujah, right? And one day, God will give you the Holy Spirit, and you will speak in tongues. Right? In some denominations, they will teach, okay? Because they also know that speaking in tongues is important or something, and then they will teach people to speak in tongues. And then in Africa, too, I've heard stories of some denominations, they teach you to just repeat a certain phrase or word, and then after you do that, they say you have the Holy Spirit too, okay? So it's not like that though, right? The Bible doesn't say anything about that, right? That we teach others. It's through the utterance of the Holy Spirit. And as you can see, during the day of Pentecost, there were a couple of things that also were mentioned. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, there was a sound from heaven, and then as of a rushing mighty wind, okay, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Okay, so wind is mentioned. And then the other thing is mentioned is, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Okay, so two analogies were mentioned when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Wind and also fire. So your tongue actually is kind of like that flame of fire. When the wind is blowing, it will move, kind of like that. Okay, so if you hear some of the other Pentecostal churches praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, it's more like syllables and words and sentences, right? Which kind of basically is almost like it's almost like a human language, almost, right? Although people, it's kind of inintelligible, right? But based on what the Bible says here concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost with wind and fire, and just kind of think of that image of a flame in the wind, that's kind of like what our tongue is doing. We can also turn to John 3, verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 8. Joseph, so. Okay, amen. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus was telling Nicodemus that you have to be born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, right? And in verse 8, Jesus is explaining about what it means to be born of spirit, right? Because in the last part it says, so is everyone who is born of the spirit. So when someone is born of the spirit or has received the Holy Spirit, again, this is the analogy of the wind, right? You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, right? When we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we don't know where this comes from, right? It just happens. You just pray and you speak in tongues, right? You know it's not yourself, right? I myself, I've tried too, right? Like, I just try to make sure, like, it's not me. I don't know, have you ever tried that? Just kind of make sure, like, it's not you. And then it just comes, and then praise, right? So, same thing is for all of us who are born of the Spirit, right? One preacher that I heard also gives a very good analogy is that, you know, when the wind blows outside, right, you can't see the wind, right? Wind is not something you can see, but you can see the effects of the wind, right? So the wind blows upon a tree, and when the wind blows upon a tree, you'll see that the leaves will start to rustle and shake, and you'll hear the rustling sound, okay? So same thing for those who are born of the Spirit, who have received the Holy Spirit. We're just kind of a passive vessel. The Holy Spirit comes and moves us, and because the Holy Spirit is moving and working, very naturally you will speak in tongues, and very naturally, many of us, you'll have some body movement, right? It's not we ourselves that does the body movement. It's not we ourselves that forces some type of tongue, right? We're just kind of like the tree there, the tree that cannot move by itself, right? But because the wind blows, then you hear the sound of the rustling of the leaves. You also see the branches swaying, okay? So same thing, right, for us who come and pray, or wherever you are and you pray, and the Holy Spirit is upon you, you have received the Holy Spirit, same thing, right? We're like a passive vessel, and then we speak in this tongue, right? Right, and this tongue is a mystery, right? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Let's go to Christopher. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Okay, right? He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, right? When you're speaking in tongue, it's not something that people can normally understand, right? It's because the Spirit is working in us to speak mysteries, okay? Mystery means you don't understand it, right? You don't understand it, okay? So it's not normally understood, okay? Not normally understood. However, you can see on the day of Pentecost, people were able to understand it, right? Let's go back to Acts 2, verse 7. Or Acts 2, verse 8, right? Acts 2, verse 8. We ask... Lily? Okay. We'll ask kindness. Acts 2, verse 8. Okay, right? You can see a crowd eventually assembled because there was this sound, this huge sound. And people were confused, right? What's going on here? And you can see from verse 9 through 11, there are Jews from all different places in the ancient world. And they also were speaking the local dialects there, and they could hear that these 120 people, these Christians, they were speaking in their own language, right? So this is actually a miracle that happened, okay? It's not, normally, when you speak in tongues, it's not something that you can understand. But here, it is a miracle that God opened their ears so they can understand in their own native dialect. Like maybe they were praising God, right? They're saying the wonderful works of God in verse 11. Okay, they could understand the wonderful works of God because God opened their ear, right? Yeah, so this is a miracle, okay, that happened, right? Because even if you were to have 120 people, we're about 120 people here, right? You go to the dining hall and we're all speaking English, right? We're all speaking English. And let's say there's a crowd a little bit in the courtyard hearing people speaking in the dining hall. Can you pick out individual languages? What do you think? Can you pick out individual languages like that? I mean, inside the dining hall, maybe you have people speaking Chinese, speaking Indonesian, maybe speaking English, speaking Cantonese, maybe Taiwanese. Can somebody outside, in that kind of everyone's chatting, can you pick out those individual languages? Huh? Was that a yes? I saw someone nod. Huh? I don't think it's possible. Okay? Physically, it's not possible, right? So this is a miracle, right? God opened their ears so that they can understand this mystery that they were speaking. It's a heavenly language, right? It's a spiritual language. It's a spiritual tongue. Okay? So unless God opens your ears, it's not normally understood. Okay? It's a mystery. Okay, any questions? I think we are out of time for this class. Any questions? We'll continue tomorrow, right? Let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen.